Okay. So tonight we're going to be learning Shabbos Ayin Bet Amud Bet and a little bit of Ayin Gimel, but we're going to be focusing mostly on the top of Ayin Bet Amud Bet. We're just going to learn the rest of the Gemara just to be Yotzi Zayin. It's relevant, but we're going to focus for the Iyun part definitely on the top of Amud Bet over here. So everybody can see my Gemara? Everybody can see my screen? Make it bigger. How's that? Is that better?
Excellent.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so there's one word that's missing over here at the top from the previous daf. The word is itmar. Itmar just means that we're introducing a machloket, who knows? Machloket amaraim or machloket tanaim?
It's amaraim.
Yeah, it's going to be machloket amaraim. So the Gemara says, "Nitkaven lagia lagbia et atalush v'chatach et hamechubar patur." Everybody agrees. There's no machlokas about this. That if you intended to simply pick up a piece of, let's say, grass or some kind of vegetation that was still attached to the ground, that was not attached to the ground. I should correct myself. Something that was detached from the ground. And instead, you somehow, figure out how, instead you ended up cutting a piece of grass that was attached to the ground, violating, therefore, the malacha of kotzer. So in that case, if you intended to do something that was completely mutter, and you ended up doing something that was aser, everybody agrees you're patur. Everybody agrees about that. However, lachtoch et atalush v'chatach et hamechubar, rav amar patur, abaye amar chayev. However, what happens if you took a knife, and you intended to cut some cut flowers, some flowers that were not actually attached to the ground anymore. And then after you did it, you realized, uh-oh, that was actually a potted plant and the flowers were attached to the soil and you just violated kotzer by accident. You intended to cut, but you thought you were cutting something that was detached and it ended up being that you cut something that was detached, that was attached. So what's the halacha there? So here there's a machloket. Rava says patur, and Abaye says chayav. Okay? So Rava says patur, and Abaye says chayav. So the Gemara is going to go into what are they arguing about. So Rava amar patur, dehalo nitkaven l'chaticha deyitzura. Abaye amar chayav, dehakamechaven l'chaticha ba'olma. Rava says, you're patur because you didn't intend to do a cutting that was usher. You intended to do a cutting, but it wasn't an usher cutting. It was a mutter cutting. You were going to cut something that was already detached. And you ended up cutting something that was attached. Abaye says, you're chayav, because at the end of the day, you meant to cut, and you cut. So you did the act that you ended to do, you intended to do. It was just that the object that you intended to do it on was a different object than you expected to do it on. That's the simplest reading of this Gemara. It's a reading we're going to go with for now. Now, Rava buttresses his point. He says, I'm a Rava, mina aminala. Where do I get my position from? He says, I got my position from a Braita, which is also recorded in Krisos, and also in Sanhedrin, a few different places. And the Braita says, the Tanya, hold on. Okay. The Tanya, Chomer Shabbat Mishar Mitzvot, the Chomer Shar Mitzvot Mishabbat. In some ways, the rest of the Torah, Shara Mitzvot, are more chamur than Shabbat. And in some ways, Shabbat is more chamur than all the other mitzvot. Okay. In what ways? So, Chomer Shabbat Mishar Mitzvot, Shabbat Asa Shtayim Behelem Achad Chayav Al Kol Achat V'Achat, Masha'en Ken B'Shar Mitzvot. So the Chomer by Shabbos is that the strictness, the severity of Shabbos is that in Shabbos, you can have a situation where you do two malachot in one he'elem. Rabbi, you want to define for us what a he'elem is? What's a he'elem?
One period of forgetting or forgetfulness.
That's right. In other words, you forgot that these things were asur. And you did two malachot in that period. So guess what? You're going to be chayav for two chataot. Meanwhile, apparently, a parallel case, which we'll have to figure out what the parallel case is, a parallel case in Shar Mitzvot, you would only be chayav for one chatat if you did two averot. Let's figure out what that is. What about the flip side? Chomer shar mitzvot mishabbat shebeshar mitzvot shagag b'lo mitkaven chayav, ma she'en kein b'shabbat. The chomer of other mitzvot in relation to Shabbat is that with regards to Shabbat, if you do something without kavana, you're patur. But if you do something without kavana in any other mitzvah except for Shabbat, you're going to be chayav. Okay? Do we have any questions before we continue in the Gemara? All right, we'll continue with the Gemara. So the rest of this Gemara, onto the next Amud, is going to unpack this Braita. In other words, they're going to try to figure out what are these two sides. In what situations do we have it that you have a chumrah on Shabbos with regards to the other mitzvot, and in what cases do you have a chumrah with other mitzvot with regards to Shabbos? So Amar Mar is rehashing a statement that we just saw. Amar Mar Chomer b'Shabbos Mishar Mitzvot Shabbat Asa Shtayim Helam Echad Chayav Akol Achad V'Achad Mashen Kim Mishar Mitzvot Heichidami. Heichidami means in what situation? What case are we talking about? Ilema de avad ktsira utchina de kavata gabi shar mitzvot achal chilev adam hachatartim mechayev hachatartim mechayev. If you'll say that the case is that a person did ktsira and tchina on Shabbat, he cut and he ground, okay, two malachot on Shabbat, he did it behel mechad, let's say, which everybody agrees he's going to be chayev twice. So what's the parallel to that case? Parallel to that case is if he eats chaylev and dam, he eats the forbidden fat of an animal, the part that you're not allowed to eat, and he ate the dam of the animal, which he's also not allowed to eat. You know, that's two different Yisurim that he did. But the problem is that if you say that that's the case, what's the problem? Are you going to be chayev one or two?
Chayev twice.
Twice? Yeah. So it's the same. Where's the chumrah? Amen. Yeah, that's an amen. Unless you're listening on the recording, and then it's not. So this is not a good explanation. It can't be that that's what the Braita is talking about, because you're going to be chayav twice in both cases. So they say, no, it must be the olam davar ktsira utchina, same thing with Shabbos. I skipped a line, didn't I? Where did I go? So in what case are you can only be chayev once in shar mitzvot? He says, da'achal chaylev v'chaylev. You ate chaylev twice. So if you ate chaylev twice in one ha'alem, let's say, where you didn't know that you were not allowed to eat chaylev, you're only going to be chayev once. But then the Gemara says, that doesn't work, because what's the parallel case to that on Shabbat? Kavadaka b'Shabbat, da'avad k'tzira o k'tzira. The parallel case is you did two k'tziras. But then the problem is, if you do two ktsirot on Shabbat, behelem echat, guess what? You're only going to be chayiv once. So that's not the case either. La'olam david ktsira utchina. Must be that he did ktsira and tchina, two different malachot. Umay ma she'en ken b'shar mitzvot, ela avodah zara. It must be that when the Braita says shar mitzvot, what it really means is Avodah Zarah. So there's some case in Avodah Zarah where you do two Isurim, but you're only Chayav once. What is it? Kedir Amiyami. Do'am Rabiyami Zivech V'kitar V'nisech B'hala Ma'achat Eino Chayav El Achat. If you did multiple different types of Avodah Zarah, you did three different kinds of acts. You did Haktara, which is incense burning, Nisech, which is pouring the wine, and Zivech, which is Teshecht. If you did all three of those different acts, Rabbi Ami says, you're only chayav once. You're only chayav one time for that. In chayav ala achat. So, good. So we just established that when it says chomer b'shabbos mi ba shar mitzvot, it really means chomer b'shabbos mi ba vodazara. Fine. Good. So we remitarate half of the Braita. But there's another half to the Braita, isn't there? So the Gemara says, so wait a second. V'mayo kimta bo vodazara. You're talking about a vodazara? Ema seifa chomer bishar mitzvot shebishar mitzvot shagag b'lo miskavin chayev mashen kin b'shabbos. Hay shagag b'lo miskavin davar zara hechidami. So we reasonably can assume that if this reisha is contrasting Shabbat with a avodah zara, then probably the seifa is contrasting Shabbat with what? With a avodah zara again. So now we have to figure out in what case is Avodah Zarah Pater Bli Kavana. Because we said the whole thing was that there's a Chumrah by Shara Mitzvot, which is really just a placeholder for Avodah Zarah, apparently. And the Chumrah is that in Shara Mitzvot, Avodah Zarah, if you do the Avera below Kavana, you're Chayav. But if you do Avera on Shabbos below Kavana, you're Pater. So how could that be? So the Gemara says, wait a second. So maybe the case is you were walking by a magnificent edifice and you thought it was a shul, and it turns out that it was a church and you bowed down to it. Why are you bowing down to a Beit HaKnesset? I'm not sure. But you bowed down to the building and it turns out that you bowed down to a church. So apparently you're going to be chayav for that, even though it was below Kavanah. Even though you thought it was a Beit Knesset, it turned out that it was a church, you're chayev. So the Gemara says...
Does it necessarily mean bow down, or maybe it just means he showed reverence to it, which would mean something you would do to a shul, rather than saying I bow down to a shul, which certainly doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I would presume that Ishtachaveh is literal. I don't see any reason. I don't remember any case where it's not. But it could be that people had a minhag to bow down to shuls. I don't know. We just don't do it anymore. We don't do as much bowing as we used to. Used to bow a lot more. But either way, the Gemara says that can't be the case because Harei Libo Shamayim. Because if you were bowing down to a building and you thought you were bowing down to a Beit Knesset, that's not a Avodah Zarah. Harei Libo Shamayim. Libo Shamayim is not a problem. Rashi says, Umach Chiyuv Yeshkan, Afilu Yadashu Beit Avodah Zarah Vishtacha Vebo Shamayim in Chiyuv Kan. Rashi takes it to the next step. Rashi didn't have to say this. Rashi says that if you do this, even on purpose, there's no chiyuv. You could bow down to a church, and as long as you have in mind that you're really bowing down to Hashem or bowing down to Beit HaKnesset, you know, whatever's going on in your mind, that's going to determine whether you're chayev or not. Okay, Rashi didn't need to say that, but he did. It's going to get him into trouble with other Rishonim, but let's leave that aside. We're not going to really talk about that. So we have to come up with another case. Vela, dechazi da'andarta v'sagidla. What did he see? He saw an dardarta. He saw a statue. He saw a statue of a person. Rashi says, Surat HaMelech, Shosin Lichvod HaMelech. So a statue of a great king. And he bowed down to it. And he gave it reverence, as my father said, or Vahishtachabelo, Rashi says. And he bowed down to it as someone would bow down to a pesel. In other words, it wasn't just a statue of Stalin that he was bowing down, because if he doesn't bow down, then they're going to shoot him in the head. No, it was a statue of Alexander the Great, who, I don't know, or Paro, let's say, who considered himself a god. And when you bow down to Paro, then it's like you're bowing down to a god, because that's what he thinks he is. So we say, well, what is that case? Hechidami, ida kibla leba eloak, mezidu. If he accepted the statue god, the statue king as a god, then he's chayav, because it's mezid. That's a vodazara. What do you mean? Vida lo kibla leba eloak. Love Klumu. And if he didn't accept it upon himself as a god, then it's nothing. It's not a bazaar. It's no worse than bowing down to a church where it's libel shamayim. So that can't be the case. Ella, the Gemara concludes, me'ava umayira. This is a valid answer. It says it must be that you bow down me'ava umayira. What's me'ava umayira? So we'll go with Rashi. Rashi says, me'avat adam, umayirat adam, hishtachabela bazaara. So, mutar. So, not clear. Rashi over here is not clear. In other places, it's a little bit more clear. But basically, me'ava umayira, me'ava means, you thought that the thing was beautiful, you thought that maybe you could get something out of it, so you bow down to the idol. You bow down to an idol, an actual idol, but not because you wanted to accept it upon yourself as a god, but rather because you wanted to give it respect, or you wanted to get something out of it, or meyira because you were afraid of it, but it wasn't an act of avodah zarah. So in that case, because you didn't know that that was asur, you thought that it's okay to bow down to Marcolis if you're afraid of something, or if you want to get something. You thought that it was mutar, so in that case, you're going to be chayav. Saying that I didn't know it was asur is not gonna cover you. That's shagag v'chayav, as opposed to on Shabbos where you say, okay, I didn't know that was asur or it was an accident. That's gonna be patur or mutar rather. Okay, but the Gemara doesn't conclude there. It would be nice if it did, but it doesn't. That works according to Rava. Why? Because Rava says that if a person does bow down, me'ava or me'ira, then he's pater. Right? However, It works according to Abaye who says that you're chayev if you bow down me'ava or me'ira. However, the Rava damer pater, Michael Amemar, but Rava says it's actually, it's not that it's mutter, but you're pater if you bow down me'ava me'ira. So what are you going to say? By the way, Tosas brings up in this whole discussion, what famous situation in Tanakh is at stake over here?
Mordechai and Esther.
Mordechai and Haman, right. Mordechai and Esther, Megillas Esther, Mordechai and Haman, Mordechai bowing down to Haman, why didn't he bow down? So this has to do with this machlokas between Abaye and Rava, about whether or not it was mutter to bow down. Haman is a machlokas, but whether the problem was bowing down to Haman or whether it was bowing down to the pestle that he had on his around his neck. He might have had a pestle there. Anyways, the Gemara says that this works very nicely according to Abaye, who says that it's usher, and therefore, if you do it by accident, you are shogeg and chayev. But according to Rava, that it's pater, what's the problem? So Rava is going to have to turn around the whole thing. Ella, Michael Meimar, Ella Baomer Mutar. Mashen Kenin B'Shabbat, the Patur Legamre. So rather, it must be that this whole thing is talking about where a person says, Omer Mutar, you thought that it was Mutar. Rashi says, Kigon Gershin Hitkaya Ben Anachim Kasav Rashayin Avodah Zarah B'Torah V'Kari Leh Shagag Lom Hizkavin. We're talking about a person who literally thought that Avodah Zarah is Mutar. How was he supposed to know? He was Megayer in, you know, some far-flung place where there were only non-Jews. Obviously, there must have been Jews to actually convert him. But then after that, he was just around non-Jews. He didn't know anything. He didn't know any better. And he thought Avodah Zarah was Mutar. And so he did Avodah Zarah. But he thought that the whole thing was Mutar. So guess what? In that case, even Rava will agree. He does actual Avodah Zarah. He's going to be Chayav, even if he didn't know about it. Whereas if he violates Shabbat not knowing, then if he does it Bein Omit Kavein, then it is pater legamre. Pater legamre. So the Gemara says, Al korcha globa mine rava mirav nachman, ele ili chiyuv eichada ili chiyuv eitarti, ava mefter legamre lo. But then the Gemara says, wait a second. We're not talking about a case where he's going to be patur legamre from Shabbos just because he doesn't know that it's usher on Shabbos. Omer mutter on Shabbos. If I thought that it was, you know, this would be a great get out of jail free cards. If I thought that it was mutter to cook on Shabbos, and then I cooked on Shabbos, am I putter from a korban? No, that's shogeg on Shabbos. Everybody knows that's you're going to be chayav a korban. If you thought that any malacha was mutter and you did it, of course you'd be chayav afterwards. You'd be chayav b'shogeg. Miftir the gamrei lo. Nobody thinks they're going to be patur the gamrei. Ella. So the Gemara continues and says, Ella lav. It must be that we go back and we say reisha ba'akum v'seifa b'shar mitzvos. Rather, our initial assumption wasn't really fair. It could be that the reisha was talking about avodah zarah, namely the distinction that we made originally, where it was zivech v'kiter, where it was you did multiple things for avodah zarah and you're chayev only once. Whereas on Shabbos, if you do multiple malachos, behelam echad yirchayev, that's avodah zarah. However, the end of it, the end of that braita, is actually going on really all shara mitzvot. It's not exclusive to avodah zarah. Now, what's interesting is that it's hard to read this gemara because it's not necessarily all mitzvot. Let's look at the example that the gemara gives. Seifa b'shara mitzvot v'shagag b'lo mitkaben b'shara mitzvot hechidami. What are we talking about when we say that the person was shogeg b'lo mitkaben? The savar the shumanhu v'achalo. Where a person was eating meat and he thought that he was eating kosher meat, and it turned out he thought that it was the permitted fat, and it turned out that it was the forbidden fat. It was chelev. So in that case, he is going to be chayav or patur. Person thought that he was eating kosher food, and it turned out that he ate non-kosher food. What's the deal?
I think he'd be patur in that case.
No, he'd be chayav. He'd be chayav. Of course he'd be chayav. A person makes a mistake. No. You ate chaylev b'shogeg. That's chaylev b'shogeg. That's what that is.
His intent was to eat kosher food.
Sure. But he ended up eating non-kosher food. So he's chayav. That's what the Gemara says. V'achlo ma'ashen kein b'shabbat, the pater. And then the Gemara ends and says, "Masha'en kein b'Shabbat." The parallel case to that on Shabbat is where nitkaven lachtochet atalush v'chatachet amechubar patur, where he intended to cut the thing that was talush, that was detached, and he ended up cutting something that was mechubar patur. And this is the end of Rava's proof. All of this, that entire thing, was Rava's proof. Now, just to remind you, Rav and Abaye were arguing, what happens if a person intends to cut something that is detached and he ends up cutting something that is attached? So Rav says he's patur. Abaye says that he's chayav. Rav is now trying to prove his point by saying that that's the difference between Shabbat and Shar Mitzvos. That what Abaye says about Shar Mitzvos is not true about, that the Gemara says about Shar Mitzvos is not true of Shabbos, whereas Abaye seems to disagree. But the problem is, this is a Braita. Abaye also has to read the Braita. So the Gemara says, "Va'abaye shagag b'lo mitkaven heichidami." How does he read it? So he changes it a little bit, a tiny bit, but significantly. He says, "The savur roku ublo." What happened? He already had something in his mouth. He had the chalev in his mouth. It ended up in his mouth somehow, and he thought that it was just spit. He thought that it was. He didn't know what it was. He thought that it was spit, and so he swallowed it. So what did he intend to do? Did he intend to eat? No, he just intended to swallow saliva. That's not eating. Swallowing saliva is not eating. And so he didn't intend to eat. He intended to swallow. So what's it similar to? It's not similar to a person who cuts something that's talush, but it ends up being mechubar. To what is it similar? To somebody who tries to pick up something that is talush. Somebody who intended to do one masa and did a different masa instead. But the case where Rava says it's patur, Abaye thinks it's chayav. All right, that's the whole Gemara. Any questions about the Gemara before we go all the way to the back to the top of Ayin Bet Amud Bet? Everybody who learned Daf Yomi should be familiar already with the Gemara. I think it was yesterday's, right? All right, very good. If you have any questions, feel free to jump in or write it in the chat and I'll pay attention. Now, we're going to go into the nitty-gritty over here. So this shir is going to be less halachic than previous years have been. I think we had a string of halachic shirs. This is going to be more meta-halachic. So this is more meta issues with regards to Shabbos, because it has to do with the concept of mitasek, which is just a, first of all, it's a Shas-wide issue. It goes throughout all of halacha. And it has to do not so much with whether, not only with whether a person is chayav or patur, but kind of the philosophy behind all of that. So before we continue, we do, actually, I'm trying to see if it makes more sense. Okay, let's first see a parallel Gemara in Krisos. Okay, so this is a Gemara in Kritot, Daf Yud Tet. It goes from the bottom of Amud Aleph to the top of Amud Bet. And it is kind of the brother Gemara, or the sister Gemara, whatever, of the one that we just learned. It has to do with all of Torah. So the Mishnah had just said that there was a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua about what happens if a person thought he was eating chalev and he ended up eating notar. So he thought he was eating one thing that was aser, and he ended up eating another thing that was aser, but not the thing that he intended to eat. So the Gemara says, Tanya, we're skipping the Mishnah, we're going to the Braita that the Gemara quotes. Am Rabbi Eliezer, manifshach, ichelev achal chayev, inotar achal chayev. Ishto nida ba'al chayev, yachoto ba'al chayev. Ibe Shabbat asamalach chayev, ibe biyome kippurim asamalach chayev. So Rabbi Eliezer says, what difference does it make if you intended to do one thing that was aser and then you did another similar thing that was aser, what difference does it make what you intended to do? You should be chayev either way. Mimanifshach, what's the difference? If you thought you were eating chalev, which is aser, and then you ended up eating nota, which is aser, you should be chayev. If you thought that you were sleeping with your sister and you ended up sleeping with your wife who was a nida, it doesn't make a difference. You should be chayev either way. If you thought that you were violating Shabbos and you ended up only violating Yom Kippur, what difference does it make? You should be chayev either way. Amar Rabbi Yehoshua, Arayu Omer, Asher Chataba. Based on the pasuk in Vayikra, Asher Chataba, Ad Sheyodalom Bamechata. No, he's bedayik in the pasuk that you have to know which isur you're doing. You have to be aware when you're doing an isur. You have to be aware of what isur you're doing. Rabbi Eliezer, Hai Ba, my Avidai. From that word Ba, right? Asher chatab ba, that's where they learn it from. What does he learn? Rabbi Eliezer, how does he respond? He says, mibaylei prat lemitasek. Rabbi Eliezer says, no. We don't learn from that pasuk that you have to know exactly what you're violating. You have to be a Talmud Chacham and know exactly what every Yisur is. And then if you don't know what the Yisur is, then you haven't done anything wrong. No. What we learn from that is simply that you have to be aware of what you are doing. If you do something and you weren't aware of what you were doing, you made a mistake, you did something by accident, that's when you're pater. That's called mitasek. Mitasek means, if we didn't say it before, mitasek means that you thought you were doing one thing and you ended up doing something else. Okay? You were busy. Mitasek. So the Gemara says, but wait a second. Mitasek demai. It depends what you were doing. It depends which you saw. E de chalavim v'arayot, chayav. If we're talking about consumption, if we're talking about eating forbidden foods or sexual relations, arayot, both things that you do with your body and that you get pleasure from, then chayav. Why? Because at the end of the day, whether or not you were aware of what you were doing, you ended up getting enjoyment. And so somehow that enjoyment, we're not really doing the sugya of mizasek v'chalim v'arayos, it's a very interesting sugya, but we're not doing it. But somehow that hana'a fills in your kavana, or it replaces it. So even if you didn't have kavana, you didn't have intention to do what you did, the fact that you got hana'a basically either does it subconsciously or just halachically makes it as if you did it on purpose. So we're definitely not talking about mitasek b'chalav v'arayot. V'im mitasek b'shabbat, patur. And if we're talking about mitasek b'shabbat, then you're actually not chayav. My taima. Melechet machshevet asra Torah. Ever talking about Shabbat, asek b'Shabbat is patur. Why? Because melechet machshevet asra Torah. The only thing that you're chayav for on Shabbat is when you do something with kavana, and bimita asek is a lack of kavana. It's a lack of melechet machshevet, and so we don't need the pasuk of asher chataba. It's not relevant. Because we already putter based on melechet machshevet. All right? I want to let that sink in. That's what the Gemara is saying. So the Gemara says, oh, no, I'll tell you what it is. L'rava mishkachad l'akagon shenitkavin l'achtoch et ha-talush v'chatach et ha-mechubar. L'abayim mishkachad l'akagon shenitkavin l'agbi et ha-talush v'chatach et ha-mechubar. So the Gemara says, basically echoing our Gemara, it says, oh, no, I know what we're talking about. We're talking about where you intended to do one thing and then you ended up doing something else. Whether it was l'agbiya and then you ended up being chotech, or whether you were chotech this, and then instead you were chotech that, whatever it is. So that's a case where apparently we need the rule of asher chataba. What question do we have on this Gemara in Kritot?
A question on the original brighter. I don't think this is the question you mean, but there's another question. Why? It's a strange thing that it brings Shabbat asamalach chayav b'yom kippur asamalach chayav. It's not a parallel case. A parallel case would be on Shabbat on Yom Kippur doing one malacha and intending to do another one, not doing the same malacha on a different day.
The case that it's describing is where you thought that it was Shabbat and you violated malacha, and it turned out that it actually wasn't Shabbat, it was Tuesday. But it happened to also be Yom Kippur. So the question is, you're chayav or not?
But that's different to if you thought you were doing Choresh and you did Kotzer.
Correct. It's not the same. It's not supposed to be the same.
But that, wouldn't that be more parallel to the case that it's arguing? That in terms of Chelev and
well, probably the reason that it didn't... Well, you're right. It could have brought Talash and Mechubar, but that's why the Gemara has to say it. That's why the Gemara has to say that, because it wasn't aware that that was what Chataba comes to include. I was more interested in the question of what's going on here. I thought we said Melechet Machshavet Asra Torah gives us the Ptur of Mit Asik on Shabbos. So then why is Rava and Abaye saying, no, there is another case on Shabbos that you have Asher Chataba. It sounds like there's two different kinds of Mit Asik on Shabbat. One of them is Pater because of Melechet Machshavet, and the other is Pater because of Asher Chataba. Is everybody following, or have I lost everybody? There's the Gemara in Kritot quotes a Braita that says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Mitasek is patur in Kol Torah Kula. What's mitasek? When you did something, you were involved in one thing and then you ended up doing something by accident. Let's presume that that's what mitasek means. Okay? So the Gemara then says, well, what does that actually, you know, release you from? So it says, if it's talking about Shabbat, you're patur on Shabbat anyways because of malachat machshevet. You have to have kavana when you do something on Shabbat. So then the Gemara says, no, there is a case where you would apparently be chayav, and that's what Rava says, or Abaye says, where you intended, you did an action, and it turned out that there was something there that you weren't aware of, either that you weren't aware that it was talush, that it was really mechubar, and it turned out it was talush, or whatever it is that you did that you weren't aware of. And that's a case where you need asher chatabah, because apparently malachat machshavet, you would still be chayav for that case.
I said it differently. I understood the asher chatabah. Malachat machshavet means that you don't intend to do the act you're doing or any act, potentially. Whereas asher chatabah could mean that you intended to do one, which is what the Brayta is talking about. You intended to do one avera and you did another avera. So you still, or chet was a different chet. Whereas mitasek machleket machshavet could mean you didn't intend to do anything, not intended to do one.
That's fine. That's a perfectly legitimate answer. That's a legitimate answer. We just have to note that apparently there's two different kinds of mitasek that we're interested in on Shabbat. And that may be important later. Okay. Now before we continue, now we have to go back and see a machloket Rashi and Tosfot. Very, very important machloket Rashi and Tosfot. So here at the top. So what were the cases? So let's go back. Rav and Abai are arguing about these cases. So the one case that they don't argue about is nitkaven lagbiat et hatalush. Okay? So what is that case? Where you intended to pick up something that was talush, that was not mechubar to the ground, and then you ended up cutting something that was mechubar to the ground. How would you do that? Right? How do you do that? So there's lots of ways that we can imagine. Lots of ways. But Rashi picks one specific one. Kigon, the nafal sakin ba'arugat hayerek, v'nitkaven lahagbiho. Rashi picks a very specific case. A knife fell in a plot of grass, and you were just trying to pick up the knife. You're just trying to pick up the knife, and on the way, what happened? Matthew, what happened on the way? As you were trying to pick up the knife? You cut it. You cut something. You cut the grass as you were picking up the knife. Okay? You didn't have anything to do with the grass. You didn't want to touch the grass. You didn't have any interest in any of the grass. You weren't trying to pick up any grass. You were simply trying to pick up a knife, and you ended up cutting the grass. That's what happened. What about the other case? Chatachat ha-mechubar patur. Well, Rashi just says, dechtiv asher chataba, which is very interesting, which is, you know, based on the Gemara Kritot. V'darshin nebekritot prat mitasek b'davar acher v'asa davar zeh. So this is what Rabbi was pointing out, where the Gemara Kritot says, asher chataba is patering you from a case where you intended to do one thing, and then you ended up doing another. Shogeg is a different story. He's trying to differentiate between shogeg and mitasek. Shogeg is when you didn't know something about Shabbat or about a malacha. But mitasek has to do with you making a mistake with your body. Rashi says, okay, fine. Leave Rashi alone for a minute. Let's go to Tosfot. Okay. Tosot quotes Perish Kuntrus. Kuntrus is Rashi. Kigon sakin mutal barugat derek vinitkaven lagbia v'chatachat mechubar. That's the Rashi that we just saw. So Tosot says, Imkein, ha de pligi binitkaven. Let's make it a little bit bigger for you guys. Good? Here. The latter case, where you intended to cut something that was talush, and you ended up cutting something that was mechubar. Hainu lachtoch talush v'chatach mechubar acher. Keyword. Tosut says, Rashi understands the second case is where you intended to cut one piece of grass, which you thought was already detached, and you ended up cutting not the piece of grass that you intended to cut, you ended up cutting another piece of grass. What happened? Somebody spoke to you in the middle and you missed it and you cut the wrong piece of grass. And you ended up cutting something as mechubar, which means that you saw it was talush, you saw it was mechubar, and you just cut the wrong one. Aval, lachtoch mechubar zeh v'chatach mechubar acher, mashma dechayev. But as it says, But if you meant to cut one piece that was attached to the ground, and you ended up cutting another piece that was attached to the ground, so you cut the wrong piece, but they were both attached to the ground, what would be the case? What would be the halakha according to Rashi? Clearly, chayav. You intended to do one thing that was asur, and you ended up doing another thing that was asur. You should be chayav, right?
Someone argues this, right?
Right here, the chulayam of akasha the Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, "I don't understand." We're going to get there. So Rabbeinu Tam says, "I don't understand." The besof perak safik achal. That was the gemara that we just saw in Kritzos. Amar Shmuel mitasek b'chalav v'arayot chayav shekein nehanem b'shabbat patur d'malachet machshavat asat Torah u'mucho chatam da'afilu b'nitkaven l'lkot teina zu v'likei teina acheret. Let me show you this. Let me show you guys this inside, actually. This is a bright at the end over there. Everybody see this? Tanya, hayu lefanav shtei neirot dolkot. You had two lit candles. V'nitkaven l'chabot et zu v'chiba et zu v'hadlik et zu v'hidlik et zu. You intended to put this one out, and instead you put that one out. You intended to light this one, and you instead lit that one. What's the halakha? The Braita says? Patur. Very surprising. So that's what Tosas is quoting over here. So Tosas says, it's another case. Patar Shmuel. Shmuel says you're patur. And he says, furthermore, just run through this. So the comment Perek Hazorek in Shabbos, it says, Patar Rava, Nitkaven Lizork Arba, Mizark Shmon. If you meant to throw only four amos and you threw eight, Kilo Amar Kol Makom Shatir Tzatanua, Fakol Shigen Nitkaven Lizork Tzadzeh, you threw a little bit further than you intended, but in both cases, you would be Chayav. You did one thing that was Asr, and you intended to do one thing that was Asr, and you ended up doing another thing that was Asr. Patur. So, how do we understand this? So, Nir Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam is going to reread our Gemara, the Machlokas Abaye and Rava, and he's going to say, can everybody still hear me? Okay, it was just my father who lost his connection. Sorry to hear that. So, Nir Rabbeinu Tam, Dahach Amai Rabbeinu Nitkaven Lachtoch Talush, Rabbeinu Tam says, no, that's not the case. The case is not where he meant to cut one and he cut another. The case is where he wanted to cut something thinking that it was talush, and after he cut it, it turned out that it was mechubar. Turned out that it was really mechubar. But it was the same piece. He just didn't know that it was actually connected. And really, what Rabbi and Rav are arguing about is about this pasuk. Demokile Rabbi Eliezer beperek safik achel pradem hisasek v'hachi itahatem beheaded the kamar ala leRava mishkach ala b'shenis kaven lachtochet talush v'chatachet mechubar. According to Abaye and Rav are actually arguing about asher chataba, how you read asher chataba. I don't want to go too deep into that, but the point over here is that what you have here is a classic machloket between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. About how to read this Gemara with ramifications, halacha lemaisa, in a very important case. Okay? In other words, Rashi reads our Gemara as saying that Rava says that you're pater if you meant to cut one piece and you ended up cutting another piece. One piece that was talush, and you ended up cutting another piece that was mechubar. However, if you meant to cut one piece that was mechubar and you cut another piece that was talush, Rashi would say that Rava believes you're chayav, and Abaye for sure believes you're chayav. Whereas Rabbeinu Tam says, no, Rava and Abaye are arguing about a different case. They're arguing about a case where you cut something thinking that it was talush, and it turned out that it was mechubar. But in the other case, Tosa says, based on other Gemaras, if you cut something thinking that it was mechubar, and you cut another thing that was mechubar, you'd be patur. According to Rava, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Surprising. Strange, but true. But this is what they would say based on Asher Chataba. So, how does everybody else shake out? So take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam says clearly, Hayu lefanav shtei neirot, dolkot, okvuyot, nitkavin lechabot zu vechabat zu, odhadlik zu, vihidik et zu, chayav, sharei asabam malacha shechashav la'asotah. Between Rashi and Tosfot, according to whom does Rambam accord? Rashi. Rambam is like?
Rashi.
Like Rashi, that you're chayav in this case. Halama Odome even explains. Shinit kavin lelkot tinina v'lo azu v'likei tana acheret. Olami shinit kavin la'ragadzev, aragadzev, shari nasayt melacha, shechashav la'asota. You wanted to do one thing that was asr, and you did another thing that was asr. Now, I actually didn't put it in. I probably should have. But the Ravid over here comments on the Rambam and says, but Rambam, this is directly against the Braita and Krisos. It's the Braita that you're quoting. The Braita exactly. Look at this. It says, Nitkaven l'chabo adzu v'chuba chiba adzu, patur. Rambam has the same language, but he says, Chayav, how could it be? And the Rambam doubles down. The Rambam writes elsewhere in Hilchot Shkagot. He says, Shagag b'shem echad v'hem shnei gufin l'chayav. You made a mistake about two things, about one shame, but it was two objects. You'd be chayav. What are we talking about? Shtei nedot v'shagag b'achat mehen v'ein yadua ezehi. Shtei achayot v'shagag b'achat mehen. You slept with one of two sisters, but either one, they would be aser. V'ein yadua ezehi chayav chatat shari adam atzmo shel chet. Lama ze dome. Shtei neirot dokot shekaba achat mehen v'ein yadua ezo nehi. He doubles down. He says, this is absolutely true. V'chein kol kayota b'zeh. So what do we do? How do we answer up for the Rambam? The Ravid goes to town on the Rambam and says, you're directly against the Gemara and Krisos. How could you say this? He agrees with Rabbeinu Tam against Rashi and against the Rambam. Rabbi, did you want to say something?
That's okay.
Okay. So what do we do about this? So obviously there's going to be a lot of ways out. But the Lech HaMishnah has one way out. Lech HaMishnah says, V'nira Li, after a long hemming and hawing, he offers a few different answers, but he rejects them all. And he ends up saying, nearly the Taritz the Rabbeinu Hukshalo Mahash Hukshala Tosot. Says in the end, actually, things get a little bit ironic because they start using different teams to support the opposite team. He says, the Rambam is concerned with the same thing that Tosot points out. Namely, Ahai de Nitgavin Lachtochet Atalush Vachatachet Emchubar. The Rava Amar Patur, Mishum Dilo Ichvin Lachaticha de Yisur Vabaya Marit Chayab. That's our Gemara. So the Lech HaMishnah says the Rambam would read the Gemara just like Rashi, that the mashma'ut of the Gemara is that if you intended for a chaticha de yisura, and you did a chaticha de yisura, right? Because at the end of the day, that's the difficulty also with Rabbeinu Tam, by the way. Look at the Gemara. The Gemara says Rava's rationale is, what was Rava's rationale? You're putter because right? You didn't intend to do a chaticha de isura, a cutting of iser. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, you'd be patur even if you did intend to do a chaticha de isura, as long as it wasn't this chaticha de isura. So the Lech HaMishnah says that's what bothers the Rambam. So what does he do? So what does he do with the Gemara in Kritot? So he says, "Amay le Shmuel damar mitasik pater, afilu nitkaven lachtoch mechubar zev chatach acher pater. V'tirtzu acha ayri kegon shenitkaven lachtoch is a davar kasavur shehu talush shenimtzu mechubar. V'rabbeinu lo rotzeh l'taritz kan." So Tosfot changes the case, but the Rambam didn't want to change the case. So what does he say? Very simple. Pligi abay v'rav al Shmuel v'pasek avatei. It's a machlokas asugyas. The Gemara in Kritot says that you're pater. The Gemara in Shabbos says that you're chayav. And the Rambam passed like the Gemara in Shabbos. So that's how the Lech HaMishnah answers up this question. There is another thing that I want to show you about this. So first, let's take a look at the Chayei Adam. You know, we might be thinking, you know, how do we paskin? It's actually hard to figure it out. So everybody agrees there's a machlokas Rambam and Rashi versus Rabbeinu Tam. And some others, but how do we paskin? Because it matters, and it only matters for korbanot. It doesn't matter nowadays. Like we don't, there's no effect, practical effects for us daily, except for doing tshuva maybe. Hold on 1 second, Ezra. Okay. So there's a Chayei Adam, Rav Danziger, Chayei Adam, one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon. So he says, "You're not chayav until you do what you intended to do." Aval, im hayam itasek, kon shenitkaven lachtoch zev v'chatach acher, od hadik ner zev v'hidik acher, patur. T'melechet machshevet, asra Torah. So who is he paskening like? Rabbeinu Tam, Rashi, Rambam, who is he paskening like when he says this?
It's not that clear.
I think it's very clear. Look what he says.
He doesn't say which, if the one you intended to cut was mechubar or.
Yeah, but how are you going to deal with that one, Rabbi?
No, he says l'chatachet lachtoch ze
keep going.
V'adlik ner ze v'adlik echer.
I don't know any lights that you're allowed to light on Shabbos. So he says patur the malachas machshavas asr Torah. Says malachas machshavas. The bottom line: if you didn't do what you intended to do, as long as there was some stia, some mistake, some accident in your action, you're patur. You have to be completely certain of what you're doing on Shabbos in order to be chayav. Now he points out. He says, look, the Rambam katav dechayav. V'ain sham arayvet shetamalav, as I told you. V'ain sham b'lechem mishnah, like that we looked at. Aval mitkav nachtoch zeh she'asavur she'utalosh she'nimtza she'mechubar. The Rashi havi shogeg v'chayev. Letosot. Let's just skip ahead. He says, v'lo nikra shogeg ela imkein nitkav nachtoch mechubar zeh ela she'asavur demalach ha'zumetar. The only time that you're going to be chayav when you do something unintentionally is if you thought that it was mutar. That's it. If you thought that the Malacha that you were doing was mutar. That's the only time that you're going to be chayav, because that's shogeg. I brought here the Aruch HaShulchan because he nicely outlines the whole thing. He says, Kasav HaRambam, Kol mitkavin lasot malacha v'nasa lo malacha acheret shel nitkavin la patur aleha lefi shelo nasa et machshavto. Anytime you do it and you didn't, anytime you do something and you didn't intend to do it, you're going to be patur. V'kal v'chomer im nitkavin leser kal v'nasa, sorry. Patur aleha lefi shelo nasa et machshavto. Hold on. He says, din chet, kol mitkavin lasot malacha v'nasa lo malacha acheret shelo nitkavin la patur aleha lefi shelo nasa et machshavto.
That's a different malacha.
A different malacha completely.
Different malacha.
Okay. I didn't notice that, Rambam. So in other words, if you intended to start a fire and instead you did kotzer, you'd be putter. Fine. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. And kavachomer, if you meant to do something kal and you ended something chamur. Nitkaven lasat davar amotar v'asat davar acher, kegon she nitkaven lachtoch et hatalush. Okay, this is the case we were talking about. V'chatach et hamechubar, eino chayav klum. V'chen kol keyotzo baze. That's our Gemara. You meant to cut something that was mutter, and you ended up cutting something that was mechubar. Rabotenu balei atosot hikshu al zeh. V'kai gav nafilu nitkaven lachtoch mechubar zeh v'chatach mechubar acher. Gam ken patur. They say, no, you're a patur even if you meant to do something that was asur, based on the Gemara and Kritot. We don't even have to read the whole thing, but take a look. He says, "Omnam, v'divi aramam ner lehedya kirashi, v'chein iskimu hamafarshim, t'midvarav l'kaman mitbar d'shemitkaven l'mechubar zeh v'alta b'yada mechubar acher, im shinui bein zeh l'zeh b'emet chayav, d'zeh mikri melechet machshevet." V'arayvet isigalav, the Ram agrees with Rashi, but the Ravid disagrees, aval arambam dachi hach dekritot, ibnei sugi d'shabas. This is the Lechem Mishnah that he's quoting. And then he gives a little bit of a conclusion. As far as the Aruch HaShulchan goes, this is, I think, the best we're going to get. Nira l'niyotayti digam suge dekritot l'fi ha-maskana soveret ken. He thinks that even the Gemara Krisos ends up like the Gemara Shabbos, so it sounds like the Aruch HaShulchan thinks the Rambam is right, and that it's asur, against the Chaye Adam. I haven't really seen achronim that really, you know, bring down a strong conclusion on this. The Chaye Adam seemed to. But again, the reason is maybe because it's all b'diavad. Nobody's saying any of these things are mutter. It's only an issue of once you do it, do you have to bring a korban chatat, which for us nowadays is not so relevant. The only question is whether you have to ask for kapara on Yom Kippur. That's really the only concern for this. One more conceptual point before we move on. The Birkas Avraham V'Avim Erlanger. So he says, what's going on over here? He says, Lefaneinu bet machlokot birushonim. Number one, Din mitasek dilatosot kol shabedato have a heter hare mitasek beheter. Anytime you have in your mind something that's mutter, you're mitasek beheter. Ulrishonim achokim apatur de mitasek, aptur de mitasek, ubedato al masa heter. Hainu shabemet heter. Avalimasa masharatza shachatach kan elasavur shazedavar heter, shenimuchubar ein ze mitasek. This is actually a different tosot that he's talking about, so it's not so relevant for us. I think I brought the wrong place. Okay, you know, this isn't so relevant. We'd have to read the whole Birkas Avraham inside. So just to outline what we did so far is this machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, Rambam and the Ravid is about what is the situation if you intended to do one thing that was asur and you ended up to doing another thing that was asur. Why should you be chayav? Why should you be patur? So Tosfot says that you're chayav. Sorry, that you're patur. Rabbeinu Tam says you're patur because malechet machshevet asra Torah. And this doesn't rise to the level of malechet machshevet asra Torah. Whereas Rashi says, no, you're going to be chayav because you intended to do something asra and you ended up doing something asra. And that's good enough. Okay. Now moving on. How do we transfer this idea of mitasek to the rest of the Torah, like the Gemara in Krisos did? Hold on one second. Good. Okay. So we have the Makor Chaim. The Makor Chaim is Rabbeinu Yaakov Milisa. He actually wrote several Sfarim. Does anybody know what other Sfarim Rabbeinu Yaakov Milisa wrote besides the Makor Chaim? He lived at the same time as Rabbi Akiva Eiger. In fact, this is pretty much a correspondence between them. There are a lot of great stories about their relationship. They had the utmost respect for each other. Rabbeinu Yaakov Milisa, he wrote the Netivot HaMishpat, the Nesivas. Rabbi, that's the Nesivas, not the Netzivas. I think that's what you once asked me. The Nesivas HaMishpat, which is a commentary that argues with the Ksot HaChoshen. And he also wrote the Sefer Maase Nisim on the Haggadah. And he wrote this Mekor Chaim on Hilchos Pesach. And he wrote the Sefer Shut Chavot Daat. That's the set of Shutim that he wrote. So in his Sefer on Pesach, Mekor Chaim, so what he's dealing with over here is the question of B'dikat Chametz. Essentially, why do we have to do B'dikat Chametz? Why do we have to do it at all? And what happens if we don't? What happens if you don't do B'dikat Chametz and then you find, and you don't do B'dikat Chametz either, and then you find Chametz in your house on Pesach? Are you responsible for that Chametz? Did you violate Bali Ra Bali Matzeh? What's the answer? Yeah, you did. You did violate Bali Ra Bali Matzeh. So the Mekor Chaim wonders why. He says, "Bidikat chametz derabanan midaraita bitul ba'al masagi." Bidikat chametz is only midarabanan because midaraita, all you have to do is bimvatal your chametz, and then you're good. The only reason one of the reasons you do bidikat chametz is either because you might eat it if you find it on Pesach in your house, or if you forget to do bitul, I forget what's the reason why. Forget. Chokas Rashi and Tosas. Anyways, so he says, "Sagi mucha beheaded the bedika ena midarabana rak mishum the sagi bebitol mashma de below bitol have a bedika midaraisa." It sounds like if you don't do bitol, then you have to do bedika midaraisa. He says, "But why?" Ein lahakshot amagen Avram damidama otol ochel chelav b'shogeg. He says, "It's not like ochel chelav b'shogeg. It's not like when you eat chelav by accident." Habachelav gufei lo nikra shogeg rak shemechaven la'achila. Because when you eat chelev because you thought that it was rok and you ended up swallowing it, that's actually mitasek. The only reason you're chayev for chelev is because you get hana'a from it. But if I happen to find chametz in my house on Pesach, I'm retroactively violating Bali Ra Bali Matzeh, but I didn't get any enjoyment from that. But it was mitasek, wasn't it? Isn't it the same thing as mitasek? I'm completely unaware of the chametz that's residing in my house. All of a sudden it gets discovered, and apparently I violated Bali Ra Bali Matzeh. Why? I'm mitasek. I had no kavana. So Rabbeinu Yaakov Milisa gives the following answer. He says, "Aval b'shari yisurim she'enu nena patur mitasek." He's continuing the question, sorry, saying, and all other Yisurim in the Torah, you're going to be pater, or even mutter, if you're mitasek. Imkain, hacha gabe chametz kevet shen renena b'lo kamechavin amai aser. Since you're not getting any hana'a, and you didn't have kavana, why is it aser? You should be able to just leave it. So he answers, nira de davka b'davar shasra torah lasot maaseh, bazamrin de lo asra torah lasot maaseh rak b'kavana v'davar shen mitkavin mutter. The only time mitasek applies is when it's a maaseh, an isur that includes a maaseh. Like Gilai Raya that we were describing before, right? Which you'd be chayav anyways, but at least it has a maaseh. Aval kshasra Torah, davar shein bo maaseh, kagon hacha. Shasra Torah, shalo yihyeh chametz beveito, afilu ksheinu mitkaven asur. Because here the Torah is saying, not that you're not allowed to do something, but that you're not allowed to have something. And having something is not an act. If I just don't do anything and I leave my house the way it is until Pesach, I violate Bali Rab Bali Matze. And that's a special thing. So he says, in that case, even if I don't have Kavana, that's when it's Asur. That's when I violate the Isur. But in any other case, in any case in the Torah where I have to do an action to violate it, if I do the action but I'm itasek, I'm going to be Patur. And he says, Amashmi Me'atur, he thinks the Torah agrees with this, and the Magen Avraham as well. Da'av k'shabadak v'lo bitel, u'matza achar kachametz v'veito, dami lo'ochel chelev b'shogeg. Says, if you check your house, and you don't do bitel, and you find chametz afterwards in your house, you violated it. It's like chelev b'shogeg. Now, is it really like chelev b'shogeg? So the Mekor Chaim says, no, it's not like chelev b'shogeg in the sense that you're ne'aneh, but it's like chelev b'shogeg in the sense that you're chayav even though you're metasek. And the reason he gives ultimately is kevin shayab yadol vatel v'lo bitel, because there was something that you were supposed to do and you didn't do it. So according to the Mekor Chaim, with regards to all other Isurei Torah, if you're mitasek while doing it, if it was a maaseh, did you violate anything? Was an avera? Did it even occur, the avera? Well, he says over here, v'shari yisurim she'enu nene patur mitasek u'mikol shekein she'enu mitkaven klal demutar. He says it's mutar. Sounds like there's no isur at all. Nothing at all.
Is it not isur, or is it an isur that is voided?
He said, well, I mean, it sounds like there's no isur occurring. So, for example, well, you know what? I'll get to the nafkaminas later. We'll talk about the nafkaminas later. But what interests me right now is there any isur occurring at all? It sounds like, according to Rabbeinu Yaakov Melissa, no, there's no isur occurring at all. Chametz is a special case, and chelev and arayot are special cases. Is there a difference, according to Rabbeinu Yaakov Melissa, between Shabbat and other isurim?
No. You make a confusion between active and passive, really.
Yeah, but Shabbos is active.
Yeah, well, there's no passive.
There doesn't seem to be any difference.
Could this be an explanation why you're still supposed to check your pockets before you go out, even though if you had something in your pockets, it would be mitasek?
That would be a good explanation for that. That would be a very good explanation for that. We'll see other nafkaminas as well. However, who disagrees? Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in my Bar Ilan, this shows up in a bunch of different places, but most people that quote him, paper svarim that quote him, quote it from his Shailas and Tshuvos, I think Simon Tet. But I found it in a few different places. One place is in Bar Ilan, and I, in my copy of Bar Ilan, oh man, my name is misspelled. Just noticed that right now. That's weird. So in my copy of Bar Ilan, it's actually in his commentary on our Gemara in Shabbos. And he says as follows. Very interesting. And he says as follows. He says, nearly davar chadash, dema demamatinan me'asher chataba prat mitasek. When we learn that asher chataba comes to exclude the case of mitasek, lo demitasek lo nase ta'avera klal. Ela demikri avera b'shogeg. It doesn't mean that it's not mitasek at all. It doesn't mean that it's not an aveir at all. It just means that it's an aveir b'shogeg. V'af b'shogeg kahayim matinan me'asher chatapa, de patur mikorban, avon mikol mekom mikri shigigat isur. And it's a special case because even though normally if you do something b'shogeg, you're going to be chayav to bring a korban. In the case of itasek, you're not chayav to bring a korban. But did you do an avera? Yes. Rabbi Akiva Eger says you absolutely did an avera. It's shigigat isur that you just are patur from a korban.
It's patur from a korban. It sounds like he's creating another category of shogeg. Is that correct?
He's
there are
not saying,
two categories of shogeg.
Well, it's shogeg with a p'tur. It's the classic shogeg, just with a p'tur. A p'tur because of mitasek. It's a shogeg with a mitasek attached to it. But it's still a sur, or at least an avera occurred. We'll see why it matters. Aval, ma dememateinan mitam melechas machsheves asar Torah, heichadalecha melechas machsheves eino bichlal melecha, v'lo naaseh avera klal. However, any case of mitasek on Shabbat, which is subsumed under the p'tur of melechet machshevet, there's no malacha. And this is typical. When we say that something is not a violation of Shabbat because it's not melechet machshevet, we don't mean that it was asur but p'tur. We mean that it was mutar. We mean that there was nothing happened. No isur Shabbat occurred. That's what that means. So according to Rikiv Eger, there's a difference between Shabbat and kolatar kula. In that mitasek with kolatar kula, an avera occurs, but mitasek on Shabbat, in certain cases, not all cases, but in certain cases, no avera occurs at all. Now he points out this distinction between him and the Makor Chaim himself. He says, "Ra'iti ledidi ba'al chavadat." This is the Makor Chaim that we just saw. Hikshe below yada shachamitz beito amay naktu haposkim dehavi shekigas avera. Why do the rabbis say that if you find out that you have chametz in your house by accident, then it's a shigigas avera? He says, it's masasik. And minitchak lechalek bein avera sheish b'masa lein b'masa. And according to Yeager, the answer that Makor Chaim gave was kvetched. This whole idea that, it depends if it was a maisa or not a maisa, dachuk. It's a kvetch. And Rabbi Akiva Eger says, I don't need it. The ikar is that in the rest of the Torah, you are violating an avera. You're just not chayav a korban. That's all. You're not chayav a korban. However, v'chashavti lavi raya mima darmenu b'brachos. So he's now going to bring a few proofs for this idea. Okay. He brings a few proofs. He says, first of all, take a look at the Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos says, "Hamotzi kilayim bevigdo poshto afilu bashuk." If you find that you're wearing kilayim in a marketplace, you have to take it out. Even if you're in front of everybody, you have to just strip your shirt off, walk around without a shirt on. And we paskin d'imenu yehudi sheish kilayim v'achar. Imu eno yodea sheish kilayim v'achar roehu tzarich lahagid lo afilu bashuk l'poshto. If I see Yoel walking in the street and I notice that he's wearing kilayim, I have to go over and rip off his shirt. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if he's going to be embarrassed. Doesn't matter if he's walking with his family. I rip off his shirt in the middle of a chuzah because he's wearing kilayim. So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, but wait a second. Am I? Hakevan de'ini odeh shebivigdo kilayim, avi mitasek. Yoel is only mitasek. He's wearing kilayim, but he doesn't know that he is. There's no isur d'oraisa, so he doesn't know that he's doing it. So it should be, why am I doing anything? Here is the nafkamina. The nafkamina is, what happens if somebody is doing something and they don't know that they're doing it? Should you stop them? A person is doing an isur, and they don't know that they're doing an isur. Do you have an obligation to stop them because of, let's say, lifnei iver? Rabbi Akiva Eger says, from the fact that you have to pull the kilayim off the guy, it means that you have to, which means that there's an avera occurring. Okay? Now, he actually, to his credit, Rabbi Akiva Eger is intellectually honest, so he says, yesh litchot, you could answer, the kilayim ha'isr ha'na'at chimum ha'vei kemo chalav v'arayot. Maybe kilayim is actually closer to chalav v'arayot because you get enjoyment from it. And so that's the reason why you have to pull it off the guy, because he really is violating, even if he does it by accident. But he has other proofs as well. But he continues and he says, however, with regards to Shabbos, the equation changes. It's called shogig avera. Just don't have to bring a korban. However, the machat, this is Rabbi's case. Do you have to look for the needle sitting in your pocket before you leave on Shabbos? He says, l'charinat. Because if there happens to be a needle there and you didn't know about it, it's not malacha. And he says that's why. Okay, he's going to continue on all, a few other points. And he says, are you mitzuveh on the shvita of your eved? The answer is yes, you are. But what happens if you see that your eved wants to do a malacha? Rotze liktzor tvoa mimechubar, v'eved amar sherotze liktzor zeh hatalush. Barav yadashu mechubar. Your eved starts cutting wheat, and you say to him, but that wheat is attached to the ground. And he says, no, this is already detached. Do you have to stop him? He thinks he's doing something mutter. So he says, lo shaykh baza shvitat avdo, the ha'eved eno osa malacha, kevin shechoshev shehu talush. The eved thinks it's talush, so he's not doing any malacha. And therefore, you're not violating anything by letting him doing it. That's his nafkamin over here. I want to just show another position over here. I think another position. This is quoted in the Shiurim Zecher Avamari. This is the Rav's, one of the Rav's Svarim from his Yortzeit Shiurim. And in a footnote over there, the editor writes, Rabbeinu hidgish kama pamim lifnei talmidav. The Rav used to say, over and over, ki halacha shel mitasek b'isurin lo nemra rak bedin p'tur korban, kedivrei Rabbi Akiva Eiger, ela b'hafkat ma'aseh avera b'chlal. The Rav did not agree with Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He felt that the p'tur of mitasek in even in Kol HaTorah Kula is not just a p'tur, rather it means that the avera is not occurring. There is no avera b'chlal. Now, what's a classic nafkamina for this case? So this is something that a lot of people talk about. We have an Erev in Ra'anana, but it's not very often that you hear that the Erev is down. We don't even really check. But I still remember back in Brooklyn, we actually held the Erev, and my father used to actually check and find out, is the Erev up or down? Dad, how often was it down? You can still hear us. You remember it ever
being? It wasn't unheard of.
It wasn't unheard of.
Not frequently, but it wasn't unheard of.
So now here's the question. And I never got a chance to ask Rabbi Goldstein or Rabbi Polin Zichrono Levracha this question. What happens if it's Friday night and the rabbi gets up in shul and he sees that everybody has brought their strollers to shul and he happens to know that the Erev is down? What does he do? Does he announce the Erev is down? Or does he not announce that the Erev is down? What should he do?
Shouldn't announce.
So the Mishnah Berurah.
If the rabbi wants to keep his job, he's not going to announce it.
So the Mishnah Berurah says as follows: V'chein sarich lazir b'mekamot sheyesh sham lechi akora utzurat haPesach v'nishbar hatikun be'otam mavui shel beit haKnesset im nishbar b'chol shelo yitaltelu shuv b'chol hamavuot afilu yesh lahem tikun b'fnei asmo elam kenu be'inyan sheyicholim la'avi ha'erev etzlan b'beit haKnesset. Basically, the Mishnah Berurah implies or says outright that you have to tell people. You have to tell people. The question is, do you or don't you? And it seems to be talui on our discussion. Is there an isur if you don't know if it's up or down?
I remember one time when we were in camp on a Shabbos, one of the rabbeim was walking with his baby stroller, and all of a sudden there was a question about whether the Arab was up or not. He just froze and stood still until he found out for sure the Erev is up, right, and he continued walking.
But what's the point over there is that he knew. But the question is, does the rabbi need to tell the congregation? If he tells the congregation, so then a lot of people will leave their strollers in shul, but some people may take their strollers home. That's the plus minus ratio. If he doesn't tell the congregation, everybody will bring their strollers home. But that might be okay if we assume that mitaseik is completely mutar and that you don't have to warn anybody. Tell you another case, which,
or,
you know,
mutav shiyu shogegim velo yu mezidim.
It may be even better than mutav shiyu shogegim velo yu mezidim, because Pinchas, mutav shiyu shogegim velo yu mezidim, it's not clear whether it applies in this case. Well, actually, I guess it does apply because it's an iser derabanan. Mutav shiyu shogegim velo yu mezidim only applies to derabanans. Or maybe to things that are in Torah Shebichtav clearly. You know, let's not get into that. But according to this, it's not even mutav shiyu shogegin, because they're not shogegin, they're mitaskin. They don't even know that they're doing anything asur.
In the case that you presented about the baby strollers, if the rabbi announces it, the people will not only be required to leave the baby strollers in the shul, but also their babies.
Depends how old they are.
Well, if they came with a baby stroller, chances are that this is a baby who is not capable of walking on his own.
There are ways around it. When I went to a wedding in Kansas with my wife, we went to my brother-in-law's wedding in Kansas, so there was a section where there was no Erev between the hotel and the shul. And we had our daughter was probably two and a half at the time. And so we were going to take the stroller, but we weren't sure if she was going to be able to walk the whole way. So I consulted, I think, with Rav Shachter beforehand. What do I do? What happens if in the middle she breaks down? She can't walk anymore. She needs to be carried. What do we do? So he said, there's a couple of solutions. Rabbi, do you know what the solutions are? Come on. Smichas Chaver, what are the solutions?
I think so. Well, if she breaks down in the middle, she can still go. She could have got there on her legs. So in theory, she could carry on her legs, so you can carry her.
Right. So carrying a baby is not so bad, but you want to do more than that. You want to do more than that. So you walk only four amas at a time, less than four amas at a time. So you take, let's say, six steps, then you stop. Then you take another six steps, and then you stop. Then you take another six steps, and then you stop while carrying her. If you want to do even more, you have two people carry her. You know, you and your wife carry her together. So you try to put everything together. Right, so there's ways to get babies home. The assumption is that anyways, any place where you can have an Eruv, it's only a Reshut HaRabim Durabanan. Because if it was really a Reshut HaRabim Daraita, you can't have an Eruv. So the worst you're violating is an Isur Durabanan. So that's why you're allowed to do all these things. I see that it's very late, so I do want to get the last thing.
And that was the main issue about the Eruv in Brooklyn, whether it was really Reshut HaRabim or not.
That's right. That's why they were throwing stones. So, which I hope they weren't doing on Shabbos, because that would be awesome. Right.
Set aside the stones before Shabbat, otherwise they'd be mukta, right?
Yeah, but there's no Erev, so you can't throw stones. So
I need two amot. Presumably, I'm only throwing them two amot.
So here's another case. Here's another case that happened to me. Bedidi hava uvda. When I was in yeshiva, so in our rooms there was a. It was a motion sensor that they were supposed to turn off every Shabbat, before Shabbat. And for a long time, I think it was just off. Like, it just wasn't working. All the motion sensors were just off. One night, one of my roommates came back to the room, and we were all already asleep. He came back, and he noticed that the light was on. And it was Friday night. So the motion sensor was on. So he didn't come into the room, and he ran to the Rosh Yeshiva's house with a few other people, because all of the motion sensors were on. And he said to the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, what should we do? Because, you know, I can't go into the room. And what do we do about all the people in the room? When they get up, they're going to set off the motion sensor. So he said, in the morning, don't go in tonight, sleep somewhere else tonight. In the morning, just call them from outside and just say, come out of the room as fast as possible. Get dressed and come out really fast. But don't tell them anything. Well, in our room, we didn't want to just do things because people were telling us what to do. So my friend was standing outside the door and yelling at us, come out, you know, just get dressed and come out quickly. And we're like, what's going on? What are you talking about? What's happening? Until finally we prevailed upon him to tell us what was going on. I'll never forget that one of my roommates, who's a rather large guy, he decided he was going to try to fool the motion sensor. So he moved as slowly as he could, slid off his bed, tried to get to the closet. He was going to stand up as slowly as he could and put on his clothes. But then after like 4 seconds, the motion sensor went off and the light went on. And so he jumped up And he started just jumping up and down to try to keep the motion sensor on. So at this point, we realized that that's what we had to do. So we all get up and we get out of bed. We're jumping around, trying to put on our clothes as, you know, as gesticulating as much as we possibly could until we finally finished and then we ran out. So at least it would only go on once and then it would turn off when we left. Question is, did we have to do that at all? Right? Or, you know, does it even help for him to not tell us? So I guess we'll skip this one. We'll go to the second one. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, he says, Yesh ladun im mutar liftoach hadelet ayidei acher shein yodea klal mehanura. This is the case. There's a motion sensor on the door. Okay? Opening the door is going to set off a light. It's going to turn on the light. So can you ask somebody who doesn't know about the light to open the door? You can't open it because you know that the motion sensor is going to turn on the light.
Oh, you're talking about the light.
It actually
overhead?
Might be a fridge. Actually, I'm sorry. This is the fridge. That's what's mostly going on. It's a fridge that turns on a light. So he says, "Kevin the chashiv kai gavna kipzik reisha teyasa malacha the chashiv rakamitasi v'galmus." He says, at the end of the day, opening the door turns on the light, but you don't mean to turn on the light. You mean to open the door, right? Your intention is to open the door. And then there's a psik reisha, which is something we haven't talked about yet. A psik reisha means that it's an offshoot. It's a result of your action, a direct result of your action. So you open the refrigerator door, light turns on. He says, because it's a psik reisha, and then there's a mitasek aspect to it, he thinks it's mutar. So you could ask a Jew to open your refrigerator door. This is a one-time thing that you can do. You can ask him to open your refrigerator door when you know that the light is going to turn on. All right? And then you can keep the door open, I guess. So if you don't have a non-Jew, this is one way of getting out of it. So he says, "Va'av sherbi ki ve'eger machmir gam mitasek l'choshvo kishogeg." This is, I don't really know what he's talking about, because in this case, I thought that Rabbi Kiva Eger says that it's mutar. He says, even though Rabbi Kiva Eger says in general that there is an idea that mitasek is still asur, it's a shogeg that's asur, but I would have thought that in this case, this would be mutar, but okay. Mikol makom bepsik reisha delo nichalei. Actually, no, I understand. Rabbi Kiva Eger would say this is a case of nitkaven letalush ba'areze mechubar. That's what he would say. In which case, it's not a regular mitasek. This is a special kind of mitasek. A regular mitasek, we didn't talk about this. A regular mitasek is if I turn on a light with my elbow by accident. Okay? That's what a case that Rabbi Kiva Eger would say, that there is no isur that occurs at all. But this is a case where you thought that it was mutar and it ended up being asur. So he says, Afshar Deshari, he thinks, even according to Rabbi Yeager, it should be mutter. But then he says, but I'm not really sure. Since the whole, this is not really a psik reisha. The way that the refrigerator works is that open the door, always turns on the light. There's a switch there that gets turned on when you open the door. And he says, it's not a psik reisha. It's like you're doing it. So here, this is where Shlomo Zalman Auerbach actually bucks the trend and says it's not a psik reisha to open the refrigerator door and turn on the light. It's an actual maisa biyadayim. It's a direct act. But he says, He says, he's not sure. He's not sure if that's what you should do. Because at the end of the day, it's not a psik reisha, it's a real malacha. And all you have to rely on is mat'asek, which according to Rabbi Kiva Eger, in this case, might be an aveira b'shogig, and therefore you cannot ask him to do it. Okay? You can't ask him to do that. Now, I would suggest that at least the Rav would say that you could. Because the Rav says mit'asek is always hafka'at ma'aseh avera. Rabbi Soloveitchik felt that it was complete hafka'at ma'aseh avera. There's no ma'aseh avera at all. So it's much stronger. Mikiva Eger is the machmir over here. I should mention that actually Shlomo Zalman Auerbach seems to imply in another place also, that mitasek is considered nothing at all. It's lav klum. He actually quotes the Rav's grandfather, Rav Chaim of Brisk, who said this in Hilchos Tefillah. Maybe we'll end on this point. If the Rav's grandfather, Rav Chaim of Brisk, in I think it's the second piece in Chidush Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi al Rambam, he says that a person who davens without knowing that he's standing in front of the Borei Olam and he's just chattering, he's just saying the words, it's as if he's mitasek and he's not even doing tefillah at all. He's just mitasek. It's like you're talking to yourself. It's like you're doing nothing. It's like picking up a lulav, stam on sukkahs, and you don't even know that it's sukkahs. You're just picking up a lulav and you're just shaking it around. That's not a mitzvah. That's not hagbahat lulav. You're just shaking a lulav around. That's not the actual mitzvah. So too, a person who's just flapping his lips and he doesn't know that he's actually davening, that person is mitasek. He's not actually doing anything at all. And so Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch actually used that to say that it could be the same as true for Lagabe Isurim. All right, it's very late, so we're going to stop here. I want to wish everybody a shkoyach, and hope to see you next time.
Shkoyach, thank you very much.
Baruch Tov. Shabbat Tov.